You may be seated. So Friday night in the Webb House is movie night. It's a really fun time. During Christmas, that includes like popcorn and candy and all sorts of other things. Normally, you get to eat dinner while we're watching the movie, which is normally pizza or macaroni and cheese if the kids are tired of pizza. And during Christmas, of course, during Advent and then into Christmas, we have to watch Christmas movies. This is my rule. The kids get to pick, kind of go around whatever movie they want during the year, but during the Christmas season, we always have to do the Christmas movies because we love Christmas movies. And it was pointed out to me recently that Christmas movies, often especially the modern ones, are super fun for the kids and are often just a complete disaster for all of the parents that are involved in this movie. I mean, Kevin McAllister is having so much fun at home alone in Chicago. His mother is not. Like, she is feeling horrible about herself the whole time, that she left her child there. If you have like 18 children, who among us, right? Uncle Billy, like sweet Uncle Billy, who is the nicest, just throws the whole thing away. Like, it is a total disaster for the Buildings and Loan in Bedford Falls. Cousin Eddie is a walking disaster. And sometimes Christmas can feel that. I mean, that's part of the reason why it's funny, right? It's like, we have Cousin Eddies in our families, and we are counting our children to make sure that we haven't forgotten them, and we make all kinds of different mistakes that happen both during the year and during Christmas time. And sometimes it can feel like we're sort of caught in that movie. And people will say that to me even sometimes, or they'll say it out loud, or they'll write it, that it just feels like the universe is against me, right? No matter what I do, it's just going to be a disaster, or that this is the season where things are supposed to work really right and things are supposed to be happy, and I'm just trying to make it nice, and I just can't make it nice no matter what I do. Or I want to get along with my brother or sister or parents or whatever, cousins that are coming over for Christmas, and I just don't know how to make it right. I don't know how to get caught up in the way things are supposed to be. And this sense that there is a way that things are supposed to be, that there's a rationale to the universe or to God, is the kind of thing that John's gospel is gesturing towards when John talks about the Word. The Word is a Greek term named logos, which doesn't really translate well into English. But it has to do with a kind of rationale and ordering to the universe, to the way that things go. Aristotle thought that the universe was made of music, that there was a kind of a musical sort of order to it. It's akin to wisdom in a lot of ways. That for a person to be wise, both in ancient times and now, is to sort of be in step with the way that things are going. Or as one theologian in Abilene says, it says, wisdom, when it's referring to God, is something like the skill of an artist that is applied not only to the mind, but also to actions and plans and purposes. It means that God always does the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reasons. And his actions, in other words, are virtuous, and he acts with righteousness without exception. And of course, we do not always do the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reason, even though we would like to. And this is what the guidance of the law is meant to do. In fact, Torah really does, which means law, has in it a connotation of a guardian, of guidance, of a way towards wisdom. Here are the things that you should do when you don't know what to do. Don't steal, don't kill, even though you might want to, right? These are the things that you shouldn't do, that we need that guidance, because when we get caught up in the wrong way of things, then things can spiral out of control. I mean, Uncle Billy can make a mistake, and then that can lead George Bailey to being in real, like actual despair, and removing himself from his friends or his family and not sure if he wants to live anymore at all. And he's actually crying out to God because he doesn't know where God is. It can pervert or distort our hearts, and we can be like Buddy the Elf's dad. We can be like James Caan and not want our orphaned sons to come back and be part of our family, right? Because we just get so overwhelmed and so anxious. Our hearts can turn inward in pride and exploitation, and the worst of these is, of course, Scrooge, who lives alone with no friends, takes advantage of everyone with a big pile of money sitting in his living room. And that's where sin and guilt and shame, that's where it can lead us. And that is not the rationale of the universe. Now, we can say that we have a sense of what that rationale is because of what John is writing in John chapter 1. It says that the Word was with God. And every time you see that phrase, the Word, especially in the beginning of John's gospel, you can just insert Jesus' name right there. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. That all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made. And in him was the life, the light of men that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What John is saying is that when Jesus was born into the world, he was born as a human being that always does the right thing in the right time, in the right way, at the right time, for the right reasons, because he brought about everything that was. That he is the embodiment of the wisdom and the rationale and the creativity of God. And that he has this not because of some outside guardian of the law, but because he is the thing that comes from outside us. He is the life that we ourselves cannot live, and so the law is written on Jesus' heart. John says he is filled with grace and truth. That this is the light that shines in the darkness and acts with righteousness without exception. And so even as the disaster comes in John's story and in Jesus' story, and indeed in our own stories, and the fear and shame and guilt that comes to overwhelm the crowd and the people in Jerusalem that come to condemn him, even though he's acting in righteousness. The people that even are crying out to God but do not receive God right in front of him because they can't recognize him. Who heap all of their shameful and guilty actions, all of their mess and disaster, all of the things that they just cannot do, put it on Jesus there on a cross. What we see is that God's creative action, God's wisdom, the light that lives in Jesus overcomes all of it. That no matter how much darkness we may experience at Christmas or otherwise, the light shines through it like a new creation where God was hovering over the waters and said, "Let there be light." That our own limitations, I mean, the ways in which we can forget our own children, that kind of damage limitation is not more powerful than the grace and truth that fills the God of all things and that is shown to us in Jesus Christ. Because that power is one of reconciliation and of wholeness. It is one that longs to make wrongs right, because God made all of creation and made us very good, and has not forgotten that. That the death, ultimately, that we will experience is undone by the life of God because that has always been God's command, to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and to dwell with him. That if Jesus is the Logos, if Jesus is the embodiment of wisdom, then our stories and ourselves and our sins and our mishaps are not the measure of all things. They are not the center of the story. That it is God and his love and in his grace and his care for us that is at the center of everything. And our lives are to live and move and have our being in him. Because Jesus is the Logos, we can see that the universe is not out to punish us. Quite the opposite. That God has come to give us peace, to make us whole, to overcome the darkness of sin and shame and guilt and death, so that we too can have the law written on our hearts. So that we too can be filled with grace and truth, not just individually, but in the relations that we have with one another. So that we can be ourselves and be changed. Not unlike in a Christmas movie, where family comes home and life is reconciled and God blesses everyone. Because that's where the stories come from. They come from the stories of Christmas, come from the story of God. The Word who has become flesh to dwell with us so that we can see his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.